First of all, welcome and good morning to Mr. David Peel of Hapag-Lloyd. Happy to have you on board online.
Fine, thank you very much. Good morning.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and we are honored that a representative of Hapag is willing to answer a few questions about Hapag's services. So I will, first of all, I will start off, David, by asking you a little bit about your own background. How many years did you work for Hapag-Lloyd?
Yeah, I'm in the 16th year for working for Hapag-Lloyd. So I started 2004 as a ship mechanic apprentice. And after 2.5 years, started my studies. And after 4 additional years, I got the, it's called patent for the nautical license and for the technical license. Then I was for a few years on our vessels as an officer. And yeah, 2013, I decided to go, as I said, going back to social life and work in Hamburg in the headquarters now.
Okay. Fantastic. Now, but you know, many people talk about shipping, but they have in fact never seen a ship. So you are one of the guys that at least have been sailing. You know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm always saying to customers and also to our own guys, when I'm talking about bad weather, I'm talking about 15 meter high waves and wind force 12 plus.
Now it's difficult for other people to understand that there can be rough seas out there. They have to see it to believe it, I believe. So
right, yeah, that's correct.
When Hapag-Lloyd, which is a big, I think still a majority big German-owned company, and you're headquartered in Hamburg. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
When you took over, or did you merge with UAC, or did you buy UAC, or how was it an alliance or?
I'm not 100% into this part of the company and the details, but I call it a merger,
yeah.
Like with CP ships 15 years ago, or a CSAV and USC, now it's Hapag-Lloyd. So to be on the safe side, I would call it we merged.
Yeah. Now, but you are a big group at the moment worldwide, and you have a very strong brand name. In which of the alliances is Hapag-Lloyd active? We have 3 or 4 or 5 major alliances around the world. Where are you active?
So the major alliance for us is TEA, the alliance. So with ONE, Yang Ming, HMM, and Hapag-Lloyd, this is the biggest alliance. And we are also now in 2M with Maersk and MSC. There we are a slot charter, but this is the other big alliance. And then there are some other we call it non-TEA alliances, where also we are sailing together with CMA and other shipping lines. But the major ones and most important for us is the alliance and 2M.
Right. And Hapag has also for not only for reliability, but also for accepting break bulk and cargo and special cargo, quite a good name in the market. Tell me a little bit about the special cargo team that you are dealing and sitting with every day. How do you organize it? If you have a heavy lift piece that needs to be transported by container ships, is Hamburg the headquarter for that? If you're located in the US and need to transport, let's say, something from there to China, is it Europe that needs to be asked? Or how have you organized your OOG team?
Yeah, so a few years ago, it was only Hamburg headquarter with technical colleagues sitting there, all former seafarers. And nowadays it's still in Hamburg, the headquarters, but we have colleagues in Dubai and in Piscataway. And we are still a small team compared to the whole company. everyone from sales who wants to ship the big and heavy cargo pieces, they need to ask us in terms of is it possible or not, and to find the proper solution, the right equipment, weight distribution, and so on. This is the team in mainly Hamburg, but also Piscataway in Dubai.
Okay, very good. As you know, I'm also the chairman of a couple of networks of project freight forwarders, namely CLC and CrossOcean. And I think I'm speaking not only for my two networks there, but also for other project freight forwarders. What is the basic information you need? What can the freight forwarder do in order for you to give a quick quote? Since we're talking OOG cargo, what are the basics that you need to know about the cargo before you can quote?
I really like this question because this is what I would like to transport to the customers each and every time. So the basic is always length, width, and height, of course, the weight. And I mean, we can lift up to, or we can transport up to 500 tons single item weight. Wow. But our bottleneck, as I want to call it, is always the crane capacities in the terminals. So and they want a little bit more details. For us, it would be good to have pictures or drawings, mm-hmm. because we would like to see how we need to organize the weight distribution, for example. Heavy items should not only rest in the center of the flat rack on the wooden floor, because the main weight is carried by the outside girders. For this, we need the pictures. The terminals, they would like to know how can we lift the cargo. So they would like to see where are the lifting points, where are the lushing points where we can add the lushings, how many lushings do this cargo need? And I mean, there are a few terminals worldwide who have a standard tariff, but a lot of them, for them, is the major cargo is the standard box. Yeah. And everything else than the standard box needs to be checked case by case. Right. And that's why, yeah, to say again, length, width, height, weight, and the picture. Sometimes an example picture from Google would be very helpful to see how is the cargo looking like. I mean, if it's a wooden case, then it's fine that I don't really need a special picture in the initial request. But if it's unpacked, then a picture would be helpful. Even a hand sketch is nice to have, better than nothing.
It sounds clear. It's also what I try to say to many forwarders that I meet around the world, that you should not waste the ship owner's time. And I think the forwarders are shooting themselves in the foot when they send, oh, can you give me a quote for an 80-ton piece, 10 meter times two, and that's it. You know, they have to be a little bit specific. It also tells you whether the forwarder who's sending the inquiry is benchmarking or actually serious.
Yeah.
And I think we are all under time pressure here. Forwarders are. You are, so we all should kind of help each other in a team.
But and what is very, very important to say is, I mean, we call it special cargo because it is special. If it's not special cargo, it would be shipped in a standard general purpose container. Yeah. And as it is special, we need a little bit more information than usually, especially the single dimensions are important. So if I get total dimensions, it makes a big difference if this total dimensions consists of two items, one 30 ton, one 500 kilograms, and at the end in the terminal, the gantry crane cannot lift it up because the weight is unevenly distributed. So
yes. Yeah. No, I think that that's very clear. A ship is not made of rubber. Even sometimes the customers think so. It cannot be bent.
Right.
Tell me, just shooting from the hip, David, what are your main trade lanes for break bulk cargo at the moment? I suppose Europe, Asia, Europe is one of the key.
Correct. And Middle East as well.
Okay.
They are growing a lot there, and I see still a lot of potential in the Middle East, but the main direction is Europe, Asia, and Asia back to Europe. Yes, yes.
I could imagine that with the merger with UASC, who also traditionally were very strong for special cargo, that market for sure is growing for you. Just a quick rundown on your organization. Where would you say that that Hapag's focus is going forward? You see OOG and special cargo as a focus point for the Hapag organization?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I mean, still our main business is the standard container and reefer and DG business, but the board has a clear focus now on special cargo, investing in equipment and in dedicated and experienced sales staff in the next years. And it is a kind of niche, but a Bentley, for example, is also a niche. So you earn still good money with this OG cargo. So the focus is there, and we are advertising this as well. And there are still a lot of customers worldwide. When they hear Hapag-Lloyd, they ask us, do you still have planes? Or they ask, you have these cruise vessels, right? Yeah. But we are one of the biggest container carriers worldwide. So, and we can handle break bulk. And we are well experienced in handling break bulk. I must say, for more than 50 years, for more than 60 years. Yeah, I think in 1965, we had the first break bulk vessel with a boom, with a lifting capacity of 80 tons. Yeah, and from this time in the 60 years ago, we have this dedicated special cargo team working for Hapag-Lloyd. I mean, 60 years ago, it was still Hapag, and after 1970, it's Hapag-Lloyd. So we are well experienced in this segment, and we still want to grow there.
Okay, that's really clear. No, I can only concur, and I'm not saying this because I'm talking to you. You do have a good name around the world, so you can rest assured. We shouldn't fall asleep because we hear it, but of course we should continue, right?
That's correct, yeah.
I'm coming to a few of my final questions here, David. As you know, a freight forwarder traditionally is the middleman between the shipper and the carrier. We see some carriers in the market trying to be the jack of all trades. That means the one-stop shop, and they claim they can do everything. Increasingly now, not only for normal cargo or standard cargo, but also trying to do it for break bulk cargoes.
Yeah.
What is the philosophy of Hapag? It's important for a project freight forwarder to know. If he comes to you with an inquiry, you might know the shipper because 10 turbines, only so many shippers it can be. Will you protect that inquiry and offer him a fair deal, or at least a transparent quote as if it was a fresh one? Will you protect the forwarders in that sense?
How to answer political correct here?
we have to be.
I must say that a fair quotation, everyone gets a fair quotation and should get a fair quotation. Doesn't matter if it's one of the major freight forwarders or if it's a small company, which is maybe based in my village where I'm sitting here.
Yeah, that's what I mean, that you treat everyone equally.
But absolutely.
Also, David, I mean, let's say some of the other ship owners, they want to do this themselves. They have a forwarding division that they have bought recently.
Okay.
But how is Hapag stands here? Do you support the forwarders? Is that the overall policy, or will you also do door to door? What's the philosophy?
There is no philosophy or major process. It's when we can offer door to door, we try to do that. Most of the time, it's not possible. So we are working with the freight forwarders together, but there is no official statement how to react and how to send out the quotations.
No.
So
So basically, a forwarder can trust when he sends an inquiry to a Hapag, it'll be treated in a fair way.
Whether the Absolutely.
Whether the rate is good or not, of course, when is a rate ever good enough? You know, so. but that's good to hear. That's also what I hear in the market about Hapag. You have a good name. You're reliable, and you are even one of the fastest one to quote worldwide.
Try our best, yeah.
Yeah, and no, but I can confirm that ever since 20 years ago, you were one of the best. So well done, Hapag. But listen, David, I want to say the very final question, again, turning back to the COVID times, has it impacted your business? Are your ships still full, or are you feeling the ripple effects of this as well in your business?
I think last week or the week before, there was an article in a German newspaper, Handelsblatt, and they said Hapag is this year, in terms of earning money, the first one in the ranking. Okay. So I'm also, just my personal view, I'm also very surprised how good we are still sailing through this COVID-19 situation. When I open the mailbox in the morning, it's still full. And not less emails compared to last year. It's more than last year. So I think a major thing that Hapag and especially Haben Jansen and the whole board, what they have done a few years ago to start it, to change the way of working, to go more into the automation and to make our work easier and faster, and the communication easier and faster. And we were one of the companies who used MS Teams, for example, at a very early stage this year, when everyone needed to work from home. And I think we as Hapag-Lloyd did this very good. And the ships are full, even though every company took some space out of the market. Yeah. But the ships are full, and it's compared to other companies, we did a good job. Yeah, everyone is doing or is trying to do it as good as possible. And but in some, and I'm not only talking about the shipping industry, in some industries, it's really really hard to sail through these COVID times, and fingers crossed that they will find very soon something to
vaccine.
No,
I still recall the advertising with your CEO having an espresso, and within the time that his espresso finishes, there's a quote available for you.
Right,
so it was really a good one. Excellent job. But listen, David, I really want to thank you for on behalf of Project Cargo Weekly. I will now push the button here in about a couple of seconds, so you can kind of relax, and I'll keep in touch with you after that. But to all our viewers around the world. This was Mr. David Peel of Hapag-Lloyd OOG department in Hamburg, a good friend also and a most capable person. So do keep in touch with him. So thank you for now and watch the interview live later on.
Thank you very much.